encouraging our broadcast, the William and Jeremy Show. Can you guys hear me okay? This is on Republic Broadcasting Network. Please go to republicbroadcasting.org. Smash the donate. Send the fundage. Mail your check money order payable to RBN 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas 78664. Call on the debit or credit to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. This is the William and Jeremy Show. My co-host, the Red Pillar, the ultimate heavyweight champion of all red pills. Smashing.
I must break you.
But training in the Siberian wilderness and pulling carts around in the snow. William Repellum, welcome to the show.
Hey, Jeremy. Thank you. Welcome. Thank you for the nice welcome again. Thank you.
So we have a few clips to play. I think you have one on the fires, and then we have a Tucka and Adam Carolla clip, and also a clip on COVID measures and AI. Where do you want to start?
Well, I just want to get a quick overview of things I'm concerned about. My number one concern is there. So I sent you over something from Catherine Austin Fitz. It's actually weird. It's much too long to watch. And I'll preface this with it. I was a subscriber to Catherine Austin Fitz, but I stopped because I couldn't get through to her about the Hala hoax and the Nazi war crimes being an absolute version of the truth. And I tried to talk to her about it. She was like, well, send me some proof or something. I was just like, well, it's probably a good thing to do. But I was like, I don't really feel like starting from square one with her. She can go look it up herself. I'm really surprised that she didn't know about that. But I don't want to get bogged down in that. And in fact, I'll probably, she is an excellent resource on other things that I don't know that anybody else, she has insight that I don't think anybody else, I don't know of anybody else that has quite the insight she does, because she worked in HUD, she worked in the government, and she saw what was happening during the financial crisis. She saw what was happening in the mortgage crisis of 2007 and 2008. She saw the scam. She's an incredible insight into that, and she really, I think, has incredible insight into the property theft that's taking place right now and the plan to do that. We need to really all be very aware of this, how they're going to be stealing property. We already see what they just did in Lahaina. We've seen what they did in Paradise. We saw what they did in Santa Rosa with all the fires and everything. They are going to continue with this war against the people and stealing property. And this was something that is in the protocols of Zion. We're going to take your property, and the Jews will own everything, and you will own nothing. This is the World Economic Forum plan. It's the UN Agenda 21. It's also very clear to us, but it's really excellent to have an expert, somebody who worked in the government, that can corroborate this and can explain it in a way that makes that doesn't sound kooky or crazy at all. It just sounds very legitimate and is very legitimate. So I would just encourage you to watch that. We're not going to be able to get into it, but I want to talk. I'll probably talk about that on my Punch Bowl tomorrow. I'm going to probably go into that tomorrow quite a bit. It's just a really important topic. We've got some other stuff we want to cover tonight. I sent over a clip. I think I would like to start with the clip with what they're doing now with trying to come back with the COVID stuff again. I mean, it's so unbelievably stupid and ridiculous. I don't know how the public's going to react to it this time. I can't see them having any success with it. That's definitely not the same success they had with it the first time. I don't know what they're thinking on that. There's a clip of that I heard on Corey's Digs, and I learned about Corey's Digs also through Catherine Austin Fitz. There's the two ladies that have the discussion once a week or so, Corey Lynn, and she does some incredible digging on all of the, UN Agenda 21 World Economic Forum. She's a really great researcher. She had a video of this. I don't know who it is. It's some official who's the COVID czar or something. I don't know his title. Maybe we'll get that information. But it started at it's about 2 minutes, and he just is selling this COVID lie. We didn't do it quite right. It's the creepiest thing you'll ever hear. It's so nasty. It's the way that the Jewish media, the way that the Jews wrap death in a nice little package and sell it to you, essentially. So let's start with that. Thank you for listening to my long, very long intro there.
One of the aspects of this pandemic that I hope you will tackle is understanding data. I heard a little bit of the panel that John Holcomb and some of our other distinguished colleagues led, and in there they talked a little bit about AI, but let me unpack that somewhat more and talk about AI and biotechnology. We are at a point right now in the history of medicine where what we understand about how to help patients is growing at a phenomenal rate. The technologies that enable us to help people who rely on us for care is growing at a phenomenal rate. And many of the companies that are doing that work are represented here at this symposium this week. If you take the combination of artificial intelligence and rapidly evolving biotechnological capabilities that produce large amounts of data, you have the potential to revolutionize the practice of medicine. If you want to redesign our healthcare system, this is the most likely place to do it. And that offers you an incredible opportunity not to look backwards at yesterday's threats and yesterday's technology, but to look forward at how we leverage this tremendous amount of data we've collected over the last 3.5 years and the tremendous advances that are occurring in biotechnology, and come up with novel solutions. What are the small proteins that we can rapidly develop and keep in a library so that when a new threat emerges, we can pull those out because we've already done the research, and we can begin producing diagnostics and therapeutics and vaccines in a matter of days because you've done that research already? Where are the platforms for delivering those therapeutics and vaccines that allow us to get around the challenges that we continue to experience with vaccines and therapeutics today? What's the best modality for doing that? That's work that we would challenge you all to highlight as you go forward. And I would warn you, though, that there is some peril with that incredible opportunity. As with everything that offers incredible opportunities for good, there is a risk that those technologies and that data can be misused. And we need your help to build the guardrails, to build the norms, to appropriately use data and technology as we move forward. I spoke with Dr. Woodson earlier today. I think this is a tremendous opportunity for our military medical community to stand up and look at the ethics. What are the guardrails that we should all agree to, not just in the research space, but in the practical application of AI and biotechnology? As you all think about the tremendous good that can happen, recognize that there are those who will leverage any opportunity, any technology, to further their nefarious goals. And we have to establish those guardrails and then establish the surveillance tools to help us recognize when this technology is being misused. That's another challenge.
Okay, so
there you go. I mean, there's the litmus test. There's the plan. The plan is to establish guardrails and surveillance so that people can't protest this time, and they can be they're misinformed. I mean, obviously, we all know this. We all see, but this this trickle down from this doctor down to the rest of the doctors. It's still a very scary situation. These people are not letting go of this virus agenda and these vaccines. And so many people realize now that vaccines are completely unnecessary. We don't need them for health. They have nothing to do with health. They've done nothing but damage. They've not helped anybody. There's not a single vaccine. I'm an extremist on this because I've done the research on it. There's not a single vaccine out there that helps anybody, that brings health to anybody. They don't work. They're a Jewish scam. So I don't know. Let me kick it over to you.
So Corey Diggs is featuring this. I guess he's a doctor speaking. Did you get this guy's name? I was listening back to the
sorry. Video. Oh, you did? Oh, cool. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate that. Major General Paul Friedrichs. So yeah.
Something that Friedrichs, some of the things that he mentioned in this clip, I listened to it before the show and then reviewed it just now, using AI. And, he's sort of presenting this as, you know, what are the ramifications of this? I guess the moral ramifications. And then also keeping DNA information on people and on different vaccines that work on different people. So this kind of gets me to what the purpose of AI is. It's not some mysterious Terminator thing where a machine becomes a person. I think that's very sci-fi. I don't think that's a thing. It's just a means of processing data very quickly. So what I'm getting from this is that they're going to use AI to process data on the populace based on genetic information that they've obtained from them, what vaccines work on certain, particular people and their genetics, and then also surveillance. AI should be used in conjunction with 5G and surveilling the population. I think that's the purpose of AI and 5G. Sure, you could get into the rabbit hole of, you know, does 5G affect people who have had the nanobots injected in them in the backs? We could go down that, but that's a big rabbit hole. What I really want to focus on is using AI and 5G, AI basically the means of rapidly processing data on people and collecting data, and 5G as the machine or the vehicle to do so because of its, you know, rapid ability to download information. I think that's what I got from the clip, is that they're gonna use these two things to collect and process data on us, on the populace.
Right, and they're calling us nefarious goals, and it's another example of the way that they invert the truth about what's happening. They blame the victim for the crime they're committing against them. It's just another example of that. And it's also another opportunity for us to present to people to say, okay, listen, this is a template. They've been using this template for generations. Okay. They use the same template to get us into World War I and World War II. And, obviously we know the big linchpin is World War II, what happened there, and what really happened in World War II, how they even completely inverted the truth about Hitler and the Holocaust, and how that's their big, prized thing. If you expose that, if enough people understand that fraud, they will be able to see the whole landscape of every other fraud, because that really is the flagship fraud that they base all these other frauds on. They got away with that, so why they just continue to do that,
And we're moving into a whole different level now, as this Major General Paul Friedrichs was elaborating on in the speech that we played the clip of. What was the purposes of the whole COVID operation? And it was an operation, and the vaccines Well, I think one of the purposes of the vaccines is to sterilize. They, you know, the UN under sustainability wants to decrease the populace by 75%. That would be very easy to do through like a decade of vaccines that sterilize men and women. I don't think that they wanted the vaccines to kill people outright. Then people would quit taking them. So I think that all of the heart problems that are encountered by young individuals that have taken the vaccines, I think that's all unanticipated. That wasn't what they wanted, was people to die right off. They wanted gradual sterilization for a gradual depopulation. That's point one. Point two, from what this guy is talking about, using AI as a means of collecting data to figure out how the vaccines work on different types of people with different genetic structures, and then crafting vaccines in the future, you know, to pinpoint whoever they want to pinpoint. I think that's another takeaway that I got from it. So, you know, in other words, the vaccines were just a whole experimentation process along with sterilization. It was to see who reacts and how they react to the various vaccines. Because you probably know people, I do, I know people that took the vaccines that were unaffected, and then other people were very affected by them. So that all this data is being collected and kept for future reference, craft vaccines that are that can pinpoint certain people in the populace.
Right. So they know who's taken the vaccine, who hasn't taken the vaccine. I mean, they have us. I don't think they're. I don't know that there's any human beings that aren't tracked. So, and I think you're absolutely right. I mean, they, of course, yes, it's just they don't want to kill everybody outright. People will catch on if they can inject people with things that are going to kill them in 5-10 years. They can blame something else. And that's what they've also, that's another template that they've done too. Done that with the other, like polio is another one they've done that with.
Back to the start of the break.
So excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low-quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. But I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
So, yeah, that was an interesting clip on bringing back COVID and data collection through AI. You sent me, William, an interesting interview with Adam Carolla from the former Man Show. Love those girls on trampolines, just saying. But he did a serious, very serious interview with Tucker Carlson. And Carlson was commenting on faked elections possibly leading to a civil war. There's about 4 minutes of this clip. Let's play it. I think this is interesting. I want to get your take, William, and I'll give you mine. Roll that mic and we'll comment on the other side.
My life in D.C., living next to my brother, who I'm really close to, my best friend, and now we live together again in another state. And so I spent my whole life with my brother, and he spent, like me, his whole life in Washington. So, you know, from high school on. And we go for a walk every single morning with seven dogs, and we climb this mountain every single morning. And we always talk about Washington, you know, where we spend our lives. And we have no respect for the people who live there. We don't think they're smart. Both of us think they're stupid. And we don't think that because we saw it on the internet. We think that because we live next to them for 35 years. I have no respect for them at all. Nothing they have done works. They should not be in charge. They're not worthy of it. They're too stupid, actually. So, like, it's just so funny that the conceit that they're smart, where they call themselves, I'm a wonk. You think I'm smart? They've never read a freaking book. I mean, these are like truly dumb people. And somehow they've hoodwinked the nation into thinking they're experts in something. Like, I literally wouldn't hire Anthony Fauci to do anything other than apply for government grants. That's the only thing he's good at. I would not hire him to run a business. I would not hire him to cure my cold. I wouldn't have him give my wife a pedicure. He's not qualified. Like, these people are not impressive. That's the actual truth.
Well, I want to ask you about Trump, and I have another interesting clip to play for you to get your reaction to. And I'll tell you what. By the way, Tucker, you can find him, Tucker on X, and everyone seems to be finding Tucker on X the last time I checked. So, again, exciting. I have so many questions. Do you think, apropos to sort of this, you know, you did the interview with Tony Bobulinski, we're coming right up on 3 years, and it didn't move the needle in terms of the electorate. And CNN and all the powers that be and the CIA and the FBI did a good enough job of getting the letter together and getting the 51 former security experts to sign off on it. And Twitter and, you know, all big the social media and all that. They did a magnificent job of taking that story 3 years ago and burying it. I don't think they could do that today. Do you?
It's amazing to me that any honest person of good faith could look at the facts that the largest and most powerful intel agency and largest and most powerful law enforcement agency in the world, U.S. government agency, CIA and FBI, rigged this election. by suppressing that, and just stop there, by telling the social media companies not to permit it, by lying in public. They rigged the election. So how could you, and leaving aside any questions about electronic voting machines, which are fair questions in my opinion, and stopping the count on election night, if all you knew was that, how could you say that was a legitimate election? It's not a legitimate election. And if that was happening in Moldova or Belarus or Congo, the State Department would issue a statement saying that was not a free and fair election. We did not have a free and fair election. And I'm sorry, I don't care if Trump is boring about it or whatever. I'm reaching this conclusion independently based on the facts that I witnessed. That was a rigged election. And I hope that we never have another one, because it's corroding the systems that we need to prevent civil war. So anyway, sorry.
All right. We need to take a quick break.
My take on that real quick. We need to understand who Tucker is and what his job is. Who he is from the Swanson family. He's controlled. He's a CIA operative. And his job is to address the concerns of the far right. And even though he's not on Fox anymore, he's still doing that on X or whatever his platform. And to address those concerns and bring people to the precipice of truth without letting them go overboard. This is what Rush Limbaugh did for decades. That was Rush's job, and Tucker's taken over for Rush. And so I think that Tucker is addressing here what all the people on the far right are talking about and are thinking, and that's why he's putting this out there with Adam Carolla, you know, giving a so-called candid interview with him. And he's mentioning rigged elections and the people failing to have faith in the election system could lead to a civil war. And I think that's what they want. That's what the way that they're directing us. Coming up on the break, let me get your comments, William, as you chew on that on the other side of the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive. Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate button, like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race. They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? Like, what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Syrah grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Show talking about Tucker Carlson's interview with Adam Carolla. So yeah, in 79, Carlson's father married Patricia Caroline Swanson, an heiress to the Swanson Enterprise. And so Tucker's married into that money. But also he tried to get into the CIA. He was denied, supposedly. Most likely, you know, he is a CIA operative. But more importantly, what we can observe is that he puts out the talking points that the right wing are consuming. He deals with what the very far right in America is concerned about, just like Rush Limbaugh did for so many decades. And that's what he's doing in this clip. He's saying the things that the far right is talking about, and he's giving them an outlet. All of these, especially Boomer, Q, and conservatards, but any Trump-tards or conservatards or Q-tards that are out there are following Tucker, and they've abandoned Fox News, even though, you know, boomers do tend to listen to Fox predominantly. The true Trump supporters are abandoning Fox and going and listening to Tucker. So this is fodder for them. This is to bring them to the precipice of truth, but not to bring them over the edge of truth to redirect them. That was my whole take on this. And we have another clip of it. Let me kick it to you, William, for your comments.
Yeah, that's spot on. You know, there's a lot of like older folks that they're only going to still continue to watch their television. But the younger, more technically savvy people are definitely going to just stop watching Fox News. And they're going to go over to this new arena of controlled opposition on X with Tucker Carlson and Elon Musk. And they're going to just continue to collect data on these people, you know, just very using AI and whatnot. I mean, just very, very well. So, and they don't care about how far over the Overton window's been pushed with their psyops now, the people waking up, because they just go around willy-nilly precision attacks and stealing property with no recompense, with no recourse. So they don't care. They're in our faces, what we know. So it's fine if Tucker comes out and speaks a little more freely and satisfies people and lets people let off steam even better than they used to be when he was on Fox News, you know.
A distraction from bigger issues. This another thing that I found interesting was Tucker mentioned that the next step for Trump, since the indictments and all of the persecutions against Trump were failing, the next step could be assassination. Interesting that also Tucker mentioned this when he interviewed Trump during the debates, during the Republican debates last week. And so that's included in this Adam Carolla clip. it's a lengthy clip, but let's play it and get some react. Mike, play that second clip. 2950 to 3527.
That is so good.
So
wow, Tucker. Billy Martin. Okay, I'm impressed.
I wanted to talk to you. So I always think about this clip, and I'm sure you've seen it too, where Schumer was on with Rachel Maddow in January 2017, and basically said, "Why is Trump agitating CIA, FBI, these agencies? Why is he agitating?" And then he says the quiet part out loud: "They will destroy you," which I think turned out to be a lot of what we saw. But at the very end, it's a little part I missed, and I think we should give it a quick listen.
But he's taking these shots, this antagonism, yep, this taunting to the intelligence community.
You take on the intelligence community, they have six ways from Sunday at getting back at you. So even for a practical, supposedly hard-nosed businessman, he's being really dumb to do this.
What do you think the intelligence community would do if they were motivated?
I don't know, but from what I am told, they are very upset with how he has treated them and talked about them. And we need the intelligence community. We don't know what's going on. Look at the Russian hacking. Without the intelligence community, we wouldn't have discovered it.
Then he goes on to cite something that didn't happen, that the intelligence community cooked up to take down Trump, as an example of why we need them.
It's... yeah, I've heard that clip 1,000 times. Every time it renders me speechless. That's the end of democracy. And I don't know how you can in the same sentence say I'm for democracy and then say actually our country is run by a shadowy intel agency no one elected and no one has oversight over. I mean, it's not a democratic republic if the CIA can punish you as an elected president for doing things that they don't like. They're your employees. Speaking of the housekeeper taking over the house, they're like your housekeeper. Shut up and make the bed. Like, the point of the CIA, as originally conceived, was to inform the president of what's going on around the world so he can make better foreign policy decisions. So the intel gathering apparatus of the U.S. president, they work for him. They have no constitutional legitimacy outside of him. Our system's super simple. The people who are elected by the public have all the power. They have employees to whom they delegate that power to get things done. But those employees have no independent power at all and no independent legitimacy. The CIA is a totally illegitimate criminal organization unless it is following precisely the orders of the elected president. Democrat or Republican, doesn't matter. So he's describing a crime. The people committing that crime in CIA should be in prison for long terms. That's the great threat to democracy right there. And the fact that no one on that set could even see that tells you how deeply corrupted they are. That's terrifying. And it's true, I happen to know. And I could bore you for hours, again, since I spent my life there and know a lot of people who work there. But the bottom line is there's no oversight at all. They were able to participate in the murder of a U.S. president and then hide that fact for 60 years by keeping those documents classified, which they still are. It's unbelievable, and it's happening in front of all of us, and nobody seems to care. But, you know, as the country declines and the democratic institutions weaken, and you wonder, how did this happen? Well, that's how it happened, right there.
What do you think the future holds? Is it...
I don't know.
I mean, are they going to let Trump be president?
No, of course. I mean, look, if, you know, they protested him. They called him names. He won anyway. They impeached him twice on ridiculous pretenses. They fabricated a lot about what happened on January 6th in order to impeach him again. It didn't work. He came back. Then they indicted him. It didn't work. He became more popular. Then they indicted him 3 more times. And every single time his popularity rose. So if you begin with criticism, then you go to protest, then you go to impeachment, now you go to indictment, and none of them work. What's next? I mean, graph it out, man. We're speeding toward assassination, obviously, and no one will say that, but I don't know how you can reach that conclusion. You know what I mean? Like, they have decided, permanent Washington, both parties have decided that there's something about Trump that's so threatening to them, they just can't have him. I mean, They're putting him on trial in March of next year in the J6 case, which basically consists of trying to send him to prison for the rest of his life for complaining about the last election. That's literally what it is. Again, if this were happening in Moldova, the State Department would issue an all-hands-on-deck order to let the world know this is not a legitimate government. And yet our government is doing it. It's like it's hard to overstate how bad this is. And I don't know where it's going, but there's a collision that's clearly imminent. And by the way, the president is senile in a way that's impossible to deny. Biden's not running the government, you know? So like, I don't know. I've never been this worried about anything as I am about where this is going.
Well, I think.
So that's interesting. So in the first clip, we had Tucker teasing a civil war based on American populace having no faith in the elections. And now he's teasing a Trump assassination. Clearly, from my take on this, is that he's getting the Q-tards all riled up and ramped up in anticipation of some sort of an alleged assassination against Trump, fomenting some sort of a kickback, which apparently seems to be what they want, since we know that Tucker's controlled opposition. That's my take on the whole thing. Let me kick it to you, William. What did you get out of that?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty surprising the things that he's saying, and that he you know, I wouldn't really. The first thing that came to my mind was, oh wow, he's probably going to be fearing for his life. He's saying these things, right? I mean, he's basically doing everything, but except name the Jew, which he'll never do. I mean, he did actually. He kind of did. To his credit, he named the Jew once when he did the expose on the ADL, but that went down the memory hole. I don't know if he's ever done. They probably said no, and he got the message. I don't know if he's ever touched on that again.
He had to touch on the ADL because that's what people were talking about. That's what the right wing electorate were talking about. Remember, his job is to deal with what the right-wing electorate are talking about. And so he had to deal with that in a way that he didn't specifically name the Jew, but he did throw the ADL under the bus. And so there was this fake, confrontation, I guess, that was put forth. And that's sort of what I'm seeing on it.
I think the analysis is pretty spot on.
So we got room for callers if you want to weigh in, 512-248-8252. In on what you think of Tucker and his interview with Adam Carolla. You know, the first memories I had of Carolla, not Jewish as far as I can tell, but he was on the Daily Show. He was a guest on there a lot, but he did the Man Show in the 90s. Do you remember the Man Show, William?
Yeah, I never watched it, but I remember it. Yeah,
it totally politically incorrect in today's standards, because they had at the end of the show the old guy that was chugging beers, and they had females on trampolines and miniskirts jumping up where you could see their panties. And yeah, that's my earliest memories of Carolla. But now he's a serious right wing interviewer. And he's putting out truth. That's what we're to believe.
Right. Well, we got Vinny in Indiana. He called.
Yeah, let's take Vinny. Vinny, welcome.
Hello, Jeremy. Hi, William.
Hey.
Hello?
Hello, Vinny.
Yeah. What's up, Vinny?
Yeah, I think Adam Carolla is part Jewish. He's not fully Jewish. I believe he's part Jewish. He grew up in a section of L.A. which was heavily Jewish. He makes jokes about it. He grew up in called his neighborhood where he grew up Hebrew Heights. So I think he is. I think he's only partially Jewish. I thought the interview was interesting. I think the fact that Tucker Carlson is basically saying that there will likely be an assassination attempt organized by the deep state against Trump. There's been stories about this where the CIA has been trying to link stories about Iran, the Revolutionary Guards in Iran making plots or, you know, maybe wanting to assassinate Trump and all this kind of stuff, which it seems like predictive programming. It seems like something that would be like almost like a false flag, you know, to kind of get people, you know, trying to get the patriotards to go from backing Trump to, you know, wanting a war against Iran. And I mentioned that to Zyklon T when he was on your show a couple weeks ago. Would the Zoomer generation buy into that? Because they seem to be a lot less under the thumb of Jewish propaganda as compared to the millennial generation that got sucked into 9/11.
Yeah, the Z generation, they're not into going to war. They're not into that. But it's interesting you made the same observations that it's like the system is prodding and poking the Q-tards and the Trump-tards to draw them out, similarly to how they did in January 6th, right? They used the election fraud to draw out protesters and to get hundreds of people to come into the Capitol and then arrest them and prosecute them. It's like they're trying to prod people into thinking, well, there might be an assassination of Trump. Let's take up arms. Let's do something.
Yeah, and as far as assassination attempts, Robert F. Kennedy hasn't been given any Secret Service protection, which is outrageous, given what is standing in the poll. I mean, you know, other people got, as soon as they announced, got Secret Service protection, and, you know, his family, the family history and all that, you know, people have been criticizing him for being, you know, so supportive of Israel, but I think he's very much aware who assassinated his father and his uncle. And, you know, I think he's trying to keep things very, you know, you keep your friends close and your enemies closer type approach. You know, he's not in a position where he can come out and criticize Israel. He did say that he will at some point sit down with Max Blumenthal. He said that again last week. And Max Blumenthal could sit there and rip him a new one. As long as Kennedy treats him with respect, you know, and sits there and takes it, he doesn't have to change anything he said. If he does that and gives Max Blumenthal the biggest audience he's ever had, you know, where he's, you know, very critical of Israel, he's, you know, I mean, say what you want about Max Blumenthal, he is a realist Jew who sees everything falling apart. So, you know, that would be, you know, that would really make, you know, the Jews go crazy and want Robert F. Kennedy gone.
William, did you have a take on this?
Well, I don't know much about Max Blumenthal. Would you say he's a good Jew in part there, Vinny?
I think he simply he's willing to see things as they are. Whether or not he's a good Jew or not, I think he has a sense of Jewish history where Jews overstep and things come off the rails and they get programmed or they get, they got kicked out of Israel by the Romans. And I think they see, I mean, you know, realistically, the only way the Ukrainian war ends is with a program of the Jews. At this point, Russia will never negotiate with Zelensky or any of his Jewish henchmen. So, you know, where does that go? Where do they go? They go to Israel. But if they don't get a war with China, China and USSR and Iran are massively building weapons, and Israel, we're going to get kicked out of Syria, we're going to get kicked out of the Persian Gulf, we're going to get kicked out of the Red Sea. Things are good, you know, now they're desperate for their war against Iran. I mean, they're not going to get, you know, Ukraine didn't work out. They're not going to get their war against China. So, you know, things are just spinning out of control. And the one thing about Blumenthal is that he kind of sees things He's not high on the, you know, he hasn't drunk the Kool-Aid. He may be a Jew, but he's really seeing things as coming off the rails, and he's trying to say that to his other Jews, which is interesting.
Well, it's kind of like Steven Steinlein, Jeremy, right, who was like, whoa, let's not, like, overdo it on the immigration thing. We're going to tip off the goyim. So I would ask Vinny, I would just be cautious about whose side is he actually on. Is he trying to make sure that the Jews are successful by not overstepping, which they always can't help but do, and pogroms always happen, and he's worried about a pogrom, or is he genuinely concerned about humanity? I wish I knew if there were any Jews that were genuinely concerned about actual humanity and not just Jews, you know?
I think
and
he
they
is.
Say they do, but they don't, though. I've never seen one, except for those. That's not true.
That's a good point. I mean, if you ultimately are concerned about humanity, where they see what Judaism all is about, well, there is salvation in Christ. But you know, that's asking for, I guess, for a lot for a Jew to do. I mean, it rarely happens, but it does happen here and there. You know, Blumenthal is an interesting person.
I think just assessing the geopolitical landscape and where Jewish power falls, Jewish power in Israel seems to be they wet their thumb and they hold it in the wind to see which way the direction is blowing, and it's blowing toward Eurasia. And so I would foresee that Israel, the powers in Israel of Jewish power, would latch on to the Eurasian shift to Russia, China. They would forget about this thing with Iran, because obviously Iran is an ally with Russia, China, and Syria, and that they would try to latch on to that power as it becomes predominant in geopolitics. Whereas the diaspora Jews, represented by Nuland and Blinken and the like over in the West, they're all or nothing. They want this war with Russia. They want to overthrow Putin, and they really have no off-ramp. So I think we see a very distinct divide in Jewish power, and I believe you'll see Israel siding with BRICS eventually. They already are, because they see which way the winds of geopolitics are blowing.
Well, Jeremy, have you seen any news that indicates this, that they're siding with BRICS? Or is it just
Israel is interested in joining BRICS and latching to that. And as usual, you know, they're going to latch on and siphon what they can siphon, because they see that that's where the power is going to. As far as getting back to local politics and talking about RFK and Vivek Swamy, they're very similar. I think they're put out there. RFK is supposed to corral the populace of the Democratic left, and Vivek Seswamy is supposed to corral the populace of the right in place of Trump. They're put out there to corral people and to distract people, but at the end of the day, they're not going to be given any real platforms. They're both giving talking points that people want to hear. So I don't think RFK is going to be a viable candidate. The Democrats are probably going to put in Gruesome Newsom and let him, you know, they're going to get rid of Biden and put in Newsom and Kamala. Probably you're going to see them run against Trump and Vivek Swamy. That's my prediction on American politics. Let me get your take, Vinny, and then kick it to William.
Well, I just think Vivek Swamy is a complete creation of Peter Thiel. The anti-woke thing is kind of he prevents a more viable white candidate who would maybe be, you know, Trump wins in 2024 maybe, and maybe he would be a candidate down the road. Someone like a Kris Kobach or that. The Republican Party will never let somebody in there. Vivek Swamy takes up space. He takes up news cycles. And, you know, he's a complete creation of Peter Thiel. He has a, there's a lot of questions about his background.
Definitely.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's, you know, the non-white candidate. Everybody has been sufficiently cucked into a don't ever say anything about race, or don't ever defend anybody, any white people or anything, or expect that you would have a white European representative. We're not even aware of, because we've never been taught that, of the value of that. As long as I'm completely blind, that's another Tucker thing. He's completely blind to her skin color. It's just an accident of birth, and has nothing to do with anything at all. And so, yeah, of course, Vivek Swamy is our presidential candidate. And don't forget that they decide who the choices are. So they're like, okay, Goyam, here you go. Here's your presidential candidate, Vivek Swamy from India. And, you know, he doesn't have any connection to your white European culture whatsoever. But there you go.
Yep. At the end of the show, thanks a lot, guys. Stay classy.
Have a good night.
Tomorrow night.
Yeah. Night.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.